I have something a little different here for episode 56. In September of 1996, WBZ was celebrating their 75th anniversary. The following are two segments from David Brudnoy's show on September 19th, 1996. After a retrospective open, David, who I will refer to here as Bruds, so as to keep the Dave David name count manageable, joins us with his special guest, Dave Mannard. There's talk of Dave's career with Bruds making all sorts of jokes about his age. Bruds also shares a story about listening to WBZ on a long drive down to Texas. Together, they take many calls from listeners that share all sorts of memories. Larry, who recalls a very tense call Dave took when he was on the overnights. Andy from Lynn asking about some former WBZ personalities. Barbara with a quick memory. Frank calling back due to a threat. Brian with a heartwarming story. Wolfie, well, being Wolfie. Pat from Waltham with some early recollections of Dave. Mayor Tom Menino, will he get in the dunk tank at the farm stand? Mark, who's a new listener. Claire in Rhode Island, who asks about a mysterious caller. George, who has a bone to pick. And Marie, who simply believes Dave Mannard is perfect. The tape then jumps to the next segment. David's guest is former WBZ producer and host Kenny Muckmeyer. We learn of his wide-ranging career at the station, from working with Larry Glick to having his very own show. Ken also gives his thoughts on the state of radio at the time. And Bruds gives Norm some props. They take some calls, starting with Mark, who asks how Ken got his nickname, Muck. Leon from New York talks about a local radio poll. Paul in Milton asking about a special broadcast. And Louise in Framingham, who's not happy about all the sports on WBZ at the time. Bruds tells us the reason why. A why that wouldn't happen for another 13 years. I hope you enjoy this episode. It was excellent to hear the two Daves in great voice once again.
This is Duke Mantee, the world-famous killer.
Join us in a glass of beer?
Hey.
Jackie, turn on that radio and back here.
This is Westinghouse.
The cops ain't likely to catch up with us, not tonight. So we can all be quiet and peaceable and have a few beers together and listen to the music.
On WBZ Boston, WBZA Springfield.
First living Vitaphone announcement.
Blue skies from now on.
The
Johnson Wax program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
First, we'd like to ask you to let us know
that
this broadcast is released. Please drop us a card,
address
Westinghouse. Please
drop us a card,
ladies and gentlemen
of the radio
audience. He made it. Charles A. Lindbergh
landed at
Le
Bourget
Airport.
Tower.
Hey, listen, the man is just about to see us.
Yeah, let's see everybody.
I'm back in the saddle.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men?
This is Tarzan, Lord of the Jungle.
Radio 1030.
All the girls are too sure.
Your boys are not going to be sent into any armed war.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin.
The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor.
The land was made this morning on the coast of France.
The Japanese have accepted our terms fully. This is the end of the Second World War.
The Honorable James M. Curley, Mayor of the City of Boston.
The past quarter of a century, the two most important contributions are unquestionable on the radio. The world is nothing.
We surveyed the history for Boston on WBZ.
You ain't nothing but a half-star.
McCarthy, as we are experiencing difficulties with Hurricane Carol, the WBZ tower has just fallen down.
It's news around the clock at WBZ. And Leo Egan, WBZ News.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock.
Yes, the Ellen Derry Show, Boston's newest music sensation.
Champions Elvis Presley and Jailhouse Rock, and the new challenger is Chuck Berry. Make it Berry, and his new one, Maybelline. Maybelline, falling through.
I can't you be true.
With 50,000 watts of spinning sound. WBZ.
WBZ, 67 degrees in Boston town. This is Bradley in the Tuesday show.
It is a great pleasure to come back to a city where my accent is considered normal.
The Beatles will appear at the Boston Garden tonight.
Or directly from Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
What do you want?
I have a dream.
Baby, I got
a dream. Weapons do not make peace. Men make peace.
Don't you want somebody to love?
A small step for man.
Exploding for me.
Oh, it's all over. It's all over.
Boston, you're my own.
WBZ, the group W stations, Westinghouse Broadcasting.
WBZ.
Jeremiah was the bullfrog.
The Paragon Park.
All the highways are closed. Governor Dukakis has declared a state of emergency for the entire Commonwealth.
Patriots win!
I'll be back.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Maynard. Our farm stands for tuning taxes this year.
We're rocking and rolling, aren't we?
Read my lips. Winds of change are blowing in Eastern Europe.
Bring it on!
This is it.
Good morning, Gary Lafayette at WBZ.
WBZ, Boston.
WBZ News, I'm Deb Lawler. Now a look at the weather with Elliot Abrams.
This is Carl Stevens, WBZ News. It's an all-out blitz as U.S. planes begin an attack on Baghdad.
I'm Anthony Silva, and this is New England Business.
This is Gil Santos, live at the Boston Marathon with a winner of the women's division once again, Huda Bibig.
I'm Jay McQuay. The snow is flying. Another
I'm Tom Cuddy. It's the end of an era.
Boston Garden is closed.
I'm Diane Stern. It's time for Traffic on the Breeze with Jill Staples.
I'm Alan Siegel. And John.
I'm
celebrating 75 years, WBZ News Radio 1030.
Not all of us were here 75 years ago.
Nor was I.
No, you were.
Well,
Maynard.
For some of it.
Dave Maynard. I remember when you used to make people pronounce it properly, David. And I always learned, never Maynard.
No.
Like nerd, Maynard.
Especially when my father visited Boston. Oh,
absolutely. You looked great last night. your wife looked wonderful, too. We are celebrating the 75th anniversary of WBZ,
indeed,
which went on the air on September 19th, 1921. Our sister station in Pittsburgh, KDKA, went on 10 and a half months earlier to cover the election returns when Warren G. Harding won in 1920, and then we came along next. And Dave has been here for 72-3 of those years, right?
Go ahead, fool around.
Okay. Well, I always wanted to have the opportunity to do a morning show with you sometime. I remember when you and Gary and Gil were on together and would do these routines, and it was always two against one, and it was shifting. It was like 1984. I mean, the book. Not the year, and actually, you were working with us in 1884, I believe, weren't you, with Tin Cans?
One more, Dave.
I'm sorry.
Just one more.
Remember, David, you're in the mothership, and I'm in the smoking annex here. David Maynard joins us here, and tomorrow, of course, tomorrow's Saturday.
Yeah,
is the WBZ farm stand. Once again, it is from WBZ's backyard, which is a much more elegant backyard than Eric one before. You've been doing this now for what, 20?
No, 14.
14 yep. years. All those rutabaga, all those things, it's been great. And all
I'm not kidding when I say 35,000. I'm impressed. Each year, 35,000 pounds of produce, that's a lot.
It's remarkable. And all of the proceeds goes to Chip Children's
Everything.
Hospital, which has been our favorite cause at WBZ for many, many a year. Dave, obviously, I listened to you both when you were the overnight guy and in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think, When did you first do the overnights at WBZ?
1979, 78. I only did it for 1 year, to the day, very strangely.
Yeah. No, it's fine, because I remember I used to drive down to the Cape on Friday nights and would listen to you. And when I left another radio station, beginning with W, which no longer exists, the last numbers of which are HDH, letters rather, and I used to listen, I thought, who is this wonderfully wacky guy? And I thought, one day, maybe I'll get to meet him. What was your first shift, or what were your first shifts at BZ?
I did 6 to 8 when I first came on the air. That's dinner time. And then I was on the air on 10:15 to 11:30. To tell the truth...
10:15 to 11:30?
I can't remember why. They were breaking in some kind of the start of a talk show. It might even have been John Bassett. I can't remember. But so I used to go out and watch operations. A friend of mine had an interest in a hospital. He was a surgeon. So I used to go... suit up and wash my hands and face and get good and sterile and then walk in and watch operations.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I had to do something between 10:15 and 11:30.
But it was a strange shift. I guess. Very weird indeed. So you moved around the dial. You have basically been in almost every
show.
Every part.
Show, but the time that I've done it. Yeah. Many times, but not as a regular bit the time that you're on the air.
Yeah. Well, these are the hours where people sit back and they think about the wonders of radio. Dave, we'll stop the kidding because clearly you're a young guy in your late 50s, and I don't want to pretend that you've been there as long as Carl D'Souza, of course. Carl looked wonderful last night, didn't he?
Yeah, he really did.
He really did. He's terrific. It was we had a little gathering last night for 4 or 5,000 of our what was it, 400 or 500 of our WBZ staffers present and past, and some of our sponsors and friends, and Mayor Menino, who'll join us a little bit later in this hour just to say hello. And since he's a native of Boston, he undoubtedly has listened to Boston for many visits.
Carl said something that kind of endeared him to me even more. I said, "How are you feeling?" And he said, "I'm fine, just as long as the pills keep working."
Well, I can understand that, Dave. I know exactly what he's talking about. I'll tell you, there are many, many worse things in the world than being a pill popper when they're prescription. It's not the worst thing going. And he looks great. Dave, you have done this in your sleep. You can do it now awake. We're going to take calls. People would like to talk with you and give a sense of their feelings about WBZ. And we're going to do that for a while tonight. We'll be talking with Mary Mazingo from the Vice President's office about some stuff they've done today. And we'll be talking with Sam Francis, a syndicated columnist. And we will have other things in open lines late tonight and so forth. Let me take a brief break here. Dave Maynard is our guest during this hour. He's an old buddy. I mean, a buddy of long duration, a middle-aged buddy.
Keep fumbling. You'll end up with something.
The presence of you intimidates me. I saw you last night, and my leg.
I intimidate you.
Yes, I bubbled with intimidation. I burbled and babbled when I saw your wife. I said, "Thank God, somebody who I can give a hug to, because to touch you is like, you know, touching Queen Elizabeth. It's not done. One does not touch royalty."
I was going to ask you if you please use only words that I understand.
I shouldn't say things like it's been an eleemosynary institutional.
Well, that's not too bad.
And you can handle that one.
I can handle that.
Well.
And if I can't handle it, I can fake it. So.
As we always say, quod erat demonstrandum and illegitimae non caprondum est. We shall break, and we'll be back on WBZ with Dave Maynard and Frank and Larry and others. Give us a call at 254-1030. Let me gloat for you.
Right.
I shall be a vicarious gloater, and you're the gloatee. Think about it for a moment. We'll be back on WBZ. BC time is 7:22. The temperature is 62 degrees. Dave Maynard is with us. Dave, before we go to calls, I want to tell you an anecdote. Can you handle one of those?
Well, so according, is it filthy?
No, no. The word moi.
By the way, a guy named Frank was next, and he hung up, and he was going to be the first. Frank, if you don't call back, I'm going to pop you.
More than that, weep.
Yes.
Carry on.
Go ahead, anecdote.
All right. I am. Of course, didn't grow up in this city, but I came here in 1962 to go to graduate school. And after 2 years, I went to Texas to teach for a couple of years. And I drove my car down from Boston, sort of sniffling as I went. And it became night. And night, lo and behold, became 10:30 on the dial. And I was able to listen to WBZ through Atlanta and the rest of Georgia and Alabama and Mississippi. And I arrived in Texas as the dawn broke, and there was no more BZ. And then when I drove back 2 years later, exactly the same path going back up, I left in the morning, and I got to about 10C or Arkansas, and there it was, not time, and I'm listening to WBZ, and the tears are flowing. I'm coming home, Mama! I'm coming home! That is my anecdote, and it's true.
I was going to say, so where's the anecdote? I didn't... no, kidding.
Pshaw. Anyway, so, you know, I've been around here as a listener even before 10 and a fraction years ago I came. Let's have some calls right now. Dave Maynard is our guest with us tonight, my colleague and friend Larry. Good evening. You're on with Dave.
Good evening. Boy, I'm glad I held on to that.
I'm glad, too.
Yeah, I'd like to speak to the elder Dave, and I'd like to see, see who answers this.
Yes, I'll answer it.
How are you?
I'm pretty good.
I used to listen to your when you were on overnight, and I've always wondered, every time I hear your on the weekends, your The Other Side, and so forth, which, by the way, is quite amusing.
Thank you.
And your overnight show... The Indian, what was this? Who was that guy?
The Indian was a Mohawk. I think that's the tribe. He was a full-blooded Mohawk Indian, or at least half. And he was a construction worker, the high-beam type of worker. And he was one of the funniest men I'd ever met. And he used to, remember he used to pop the cans of beer open?
Yep.
He said, get next to the radio, pally.
Yeah,
and he'd call me at breakfast time. He'd have a tall can, and then somebody called in and said, "You know why he drinks tall cans of beer?" And I said, "I haven't got the slightest idea." He said, "Because he has a very big nose, and he hides it behind the beer can."
Then there was a woman, an older woman, who used to call all the time.
Olga.
Yes, I couldn't think of her name.
David has long-term memory, but ask him what he had for breakfast yesterday. Gone.
No, it's very, very easy.
What did you have for breakfast?
Peking duck.
What's the matter? That's why you're living such a good life, Maynard.
You know, Dave, you had one situation on there that I think of it every time I hear you.
What's that?
There was a guy who I think he was a single father, and somehow the police were involved, and you kept him on the phone.
Man called me up and he said, "I've just taken 40 pills and I had a quart of 100 proof vodka, and I just wanted to call and say goodbye." He was very serious about it.
Oh, yeah.
And I kept him on the line for about 15 minutes talking, just getting little bits of information and piecing it together. And we were able to call. We found out where he had worked. He had been a policeman.
Mm-hmm.
And we put all the pieces together, and we got to the police in his town, and they forced entry, and they caught him just in time.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, and you heard it was quite a sigh of relief. That was a sleepless night. I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, I tell you, I broke up. It's a good thing that I think the news was 3 minutes late. I could have cared less. I just I was just kind of on top of a cloud.
Larry, thank you very much for calling.
Thank
Good night.
Thank you, Dave and Dave.
Thank you very much, sir. This is WBZ. We're talking about our 75th birthday here during this hour. Dave Maynard is with us tonight from Lynn. Andy, good evening. You're on with Dave.
Good evening, Dave.
How are you?
Congratulations on the station's 75th anniversary, and I've enjoyed listening to the both of you at one time or another.
Thank you.
I had a couple of questions, though. I was wondering about some of the personalities that used to be on BZ probably a long, long time ago now. Bruce Bradley, Larry Glick, and Jim Sands.
Larry Glick was on with me this morning. He lives in Boca Raton, Florida. Jim Sands is right here, still in the Boston area. He does a show on our sister station now, ODS, I think.
Yes, he does.
And let's see, who else did you ask about?
Bruce Bradley.
Bruce Bradley's last station. I can't tell you where he is now because he moves around so quickly. Last station was KLMOX St. Louis. He was doing an afternoon talk show.
I also had another question. I've been listening to Lavelle Diet for many years, and I haven't heard him lately, and I was wondering if he was still on the station.
He is on the station, but we also have exciting sporting events which grace our air many, many hours a week, and many of those... I can't do this with a straight face. The point is, he's preempted a lot. That's what happens. He's preempted a lot.
How far are you going to go with this?
Catch him between baseball, hockey, football, Hialai, Tiddlywinks, and the World Chess Championship. But don't let me get started on this one. I'm sorry.
You mean the exciting baseball game between San Diego and Colorado.
There's a plan. There is a master plan.
Right.
One day this too shall pass and all will be well. I've been guaranteed things will get better. But anyway, the sad thing is that there's less Lavelle than you want. And that's the way it goes. But Lavelle has a job in another city, primarily. Nobody knows where or what, but he's honorably employed, and he joins us on weekends to do what he's done here for, about 20 years, I believe. It is. Anyway, Andy, we'll pass that message on that you care. A lot of people care, and they've told me so. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, David.
Good night. Let's move ahead. Dave Maynard, our guest. We're talking about WBZ itself. It's a little self-interested, but every 75 years we can do it. Maynard says he'll be here for the 150th. Barbara, good evening. Good evening, Barbara. You're on with Dave Maynard. Hello, Barbara. Turn down your radio, my dear.
Hello, Dave.
Okay. Just turn down the radio, please. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I wanted to add another name. Malcolm McCormick and his musical clock.
Malcolm McCormick. Boy, that's even before my time, madam.
Oh, no.
Oh, many years before. Thank God somebody is...
Yep, he had a little thing that went tick-tock, tick-tock in the morning each day. Okay, I just wanted to mention it.
Thank you, dear. Thanks for the call.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Barbara. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Once again, our phone number 254-1030. The area code in Boston is 617. It's exactly 729 and a fraction, 62 degrees. We'll take a little break here. Brian and Wolfie. Wolfie.
Wolfie.
Wolfie. Wolfie be back, as they say. And we have a couple of open lines if you'd like to fill them up at 254-1030. Area code 617. Also, later tonight, we'll be talking with Kenny Meyer, who's also a veteran of WBZ, and he'll join us in the final hour tonight, so we will open and close with a little retrospective of this station. It's now 7:30 exactly. We'll be
a bit before too long. Actually, on Saturday, September the 21st, the 14th annual Farm Stand for Children's Hospital will be held right across the street from the WBC studios on Soldiers Field Road. That's in Alston. In case you haven't heard, Children's Hospital in Boston has been rated the number one pediatric hospital in the country for the 8th year in a row, and you have played a big part in making it so by supporting our Farm Stand. Any questions, call the Farm Stand.
WBC Times 7:34. Can you imagine giving an award, a distinguished award, to the Internal Revenue Service? We have a guest here, David, at 8 o'clock, who has done just that on behalf of Vice President Gore, and we shall talk about it. Meanwhile, back to you and our WBZ friends here. Dave Maynard is with me. We are celebrating this very day, the 75th anniversary of the first broadcast by WBZ Radio. Frank, good evening. You're on BZ. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
I called back because of Dave's threat.
Good.
That's right.
Dave means it.
When in doubt, threaten.
I have seen him do that. He threw me into shark-infested waters one day some years ago, actually. Almost, didn't you, Dave? Anyway, Frank, go ahead, please.
I'm just calling basically to express my appreciation. I grew up with WBZ, and I left the area for a while to go to school and to work, and I've just recently returned, and to hear the personalities back on the air, it's much like your anecdote that you described to David earlier, it's a bit of a homecoming. So I want to thank you for your years of service. And David, sometimes I'd like to hear from you, not tonight, but why it is maybe you left academia and went into broadcasting.
I'm still in it. I teach at Boston University, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just keep my finger in. I'll tell you, short story, I was one of 5 billion PhDs looking for a job in Boston. And the best offer I got was in Guam. And I said, I don't think so. And so that's my... But anyway, I've kept on. I've taught part-time at Harvard and BU and so on. So I keep my finger and I like the classroom, but I love BZ Radio.
Oh, of course.
All right. Thanks for doing it, Frank. You're off the hook. Maynard will not come after you.
Okay, well, that's good. Besides,
I'm very subdued today. I was here at 6:25 live this morning, or as close as I could make it.
Well, you've been getting all those vegetables polished, haven't you?
I have.
And you also, by the way, we shouldn't make people feel it's just a Farm Stand.
Oh,
it is lots of stuff besides.
Oh.
Dave, take a minute of my precious time and mention our precious WBZ Farm Stand Saturday morning from dawn onward.
The greatest values in fresh produce and baked goods. We have great food to eat. We have two different breakfasts, blueberry pancakes, which are traditional with us, and sausage, or ham and eggs and home fries. We have roasted chickens through the day, and hot dogs and hamburgers, of course, and Italian sausages, the big plump ones. We have petting zoos. We have moonwalks.
Do we get to pet you?
Yeah. Well, within, yes.
What time does it start, Dave?
The petting or the...
No.
Oh.
The whole thing.
7 o'clock, about.
Believe it or not, don't whisper to anybody, I have a bar mitzvah on Saturday. Can you imagine me entering a house of worship? But anyway, so I think I'll pop by before the bar mitzvah. I will not have ham and eggs, however.
No.
Before the bar mitzvah, this would be a bit much. But anyway,
I understand.
I haven't been at the Farm Stand for a couple of years, but it's in our backyard, which is more convenient when you used to have it in Detroit or wherever it was.
There's something for everybody. And that's what is so great about it. Even the man who walks around with a python around his neck, there's a place for that, too.
Oh, I remember him. I will be there. I'll see you Saturday morning. Let's get going. Brian, good evening. You're on BZ with Dave Maynard.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Dave. How are you?
Honey.
Good.
I just wanted to say hello to you, and I've talked to Dave Brodnoy a few times in the past, but, you know, you helped out my mom. I don't want to embarrass you. And, you know, about, I was like 16, 17, but no, probably like 15, 16 years ago, we were kind of going through a difficult period. We were moving, and she didn't even have a credit card at the time. We're doing much better now, of course, and she's somewhere and I'm somewhere else, but you helped her with a refrigerator or whatever, and it was just, it was a big thing at the time, you know.
Maynard is blushing. Dave, see how they love you
for what you've done.
No, it's true. I've heard these stories for years, and I know they're true.
It was such a good deed overall, and it was just extending yourself far beyond just, you know, as a, you know, radio personality. And
at first, I felt badly because I had the stonemason etch my name on the refrigerator so you could never
walk. No, it wasn't that bad. But, and I happened to, you know, meet you one time, too, because it meant a lot to me. I wanted to say thanks one time myself. I was kind of a shy, awkward teenage kid or whatever. But, and you know, and I walked up there when you guys were downtown crossing on your Christmas drive, and I'm blind. And and I went in there, and I said hello, and things were kind of crazy in there. But it was just a big thrill for me at the time. And, you know, and since then, I think my mom and my grandparents about 4 years ago, before my grandfather died last year, went out there to say, you know, see you at one of the farm stands a few years ago, and it was a big thrill for her then too. And you've done a lot of good for a lot of people. You've been more like a public servant, you know. And
as a matter of fact, I guess I'll leave now because I'm too good for everybody around here. And
I think you should run for Perot or something.
No, I don't mean to.
I know. I'm only kidding.
It's sometimes a little awkward, but I mean it means is. Much to me and to my mom still, and I think, you know, it's nice to come across decent people once in a while.
Well, tell your mom I said hello, will you?
I will, David.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Brian, for calling.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye-bye. Now, by popular demand, Wolfie. Good evening, Wolfie. You're on with Dave.
Pat, you'll be next.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Wolf.
One thing I'll always remember you for, that's Brodnoy. I'm speaking to Brodnoy now, aren't I?
We're both here.
Whatever.
Well, you went to get into a taxi cab at the Lenox Hotel, and the driver didn't know where you wanted to go. For the mild-mannered person you are, when you slammed that guy's door, he could have ordered a coffee and donuts in the Dunkin' Donuts across the street.
Are you telling me that the fabled David Brodnoy has a temper?
Oh.
Yo, Kevin.
Kevin has felt the lash of my tongue. Kevin! Yes, Wolfie is right. But it's so rare that I then go and do all sorts of apologetics. I get on the ground and grovel and so on. But Wolfie, you're right. And that you observed it means I have to kill you now.
Now for Dave.
All right.
Dave.
Yes.
I want you to go through the greatest put on that the people used to do to you on the last week in November.
What are you talking about?
They, person after person, would call you and want to know certain ways of cooking that turkey.
Turkey, oh, God. Do you know that they have awakened me the last, since I mostly retired, they have awakened me the last 3 years, 20 minutes after 6, and I don't have to get up that early anymore and say, well, you forgot you had to do the... I said, nobody told me I had to do the... But we've sent out, something like 60,000 copies of that. And I still... Were you listening to the day the woman called up and she was laughing so hard she couldn't speak? But she did manage to blurt out that she had just put her turkey in the oven, but she hadn't noticed that she put a can of sweet potatoes unopened in next to it and back where she didn't see, and that's not how you heat up. And it blew up. It came right through the glass of the oven. I said, where is it? She says, on the ceiling. Where the hell do you think it is? I'll never forget that. Hey, thanks for the call, Wolf.
Wait, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
What do I do? I've just got a microwave. that has one of the little turntables in it, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Now, if I get a dinner that's too big for the turntable, what do I do?
You're not supposed to be eating like that.
You take it out of the container and you chop it into pieces and you heat the parts you want, Wolfie.
Oh.
Okay. Right. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
By the way, Dave, I know the best way to order, to create a turkey.
Yeah.
You go to the Ritz and you say, waiter, let's take another call. WBZ time is 7:42. The temperature is whatever. And
who cares?
And who cares and so on. The phone number here, 254-1030, area code 617 in Waltham. Pat, good evening. You're on with Dave Maynard.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hi, Pat.
Dave.
Yeah. Hi.
You know, David Budnoy, I remember Dave Maynard when he first, I think when you first came to Boston back in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
I think you started at BZ, and if you didn't, I won't mention the station because it's not far away.
It isn't on the air. I was with two stations for three years apiece, and they both changed their call letters after
I
left.
Yes, they did.
I don't know why.
You worked with Norm Prescott.
Yep.
Stan Richards.
Yeah, I did. We were all in the same station.
And Alan Gary.
Gary. Yeah,
who used to call himself Aloysius P. Suttongale.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember you also on TV at Channel 4, you used to do Star of the Day, Who Will It Be?
Do you know that I've had people approach me, people walk up to me, not necessarily in this state, in lots of different places, and they don't say, hello, are you Dave Maynard, or hi, or something. They start singing that song. It's really amazing.
And you know what else you did, though? You did Boston Blackie. You used to MC that. You know, you were the announcer.
I did one with the chipmunk, too. Chimpanzee. Do you remember that one? I did a series of 13 jungle movies.
No, I don't remember that. I only heard you on vacations because I went to Perkins School for the Blind, so I only got you once in a while.
Right.
And I liked Boston Blackie. I really would have liked to have been able to, stay home and enjoy that. And I wish they had kept it on the air.
I don't know if you know this, Pat, but in the early, early, early Tarzan movies, Dave Maynard played Boy. We have to break,
okay.
Pat. Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. There's a gentleman who was born, bred, raised, and now governs Boston. His name is Tom Menino. He, I know, has listened to WBZ all his youthful days. And the mayor joins us tonight. Mayor, thank you for being with us. Good to have you here tonight.
Great to be on, David. David, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I forgot to try to nail you last night. You know, I had remarked earlier that when Governor Weld ran for office, he came to our farm stand. John Silver chose not to. You know what happened, of course.
We're serving blueberry pancakes this week.
Yes, yes, we are. We've done that for the last 5-6 years. But now I have a dunk tank, and we've had lots of different politicians.
Tom, don't.
I'm not going to do it.
Don't.
Oh, come on, Mayor.
No.
A couple of
that's
baseball.
That's like Mike Dukakis in a tank.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it till election year, and that's a few years hence.
I'm not going
to. Don't do it. But
what chance do you think I have of getting the governor and Senator Kerry maybe to fire 3 or 4 balls at each other? Not at each other, but to try to dunk one
you
another.
You might get the governor to do it. I don't know about the senator. The governor's into...
The senator owes me. The first show he did on this station when I went on vacation, he did the all-night show.
Oh, really?
Sure.
You're kidding. Really?
He did.
Wow.
He did a good job, too.
Hey, I should try to get him and Governor Weld to do a fill-in here. I think Weld did it once, as a matter of fact. Tom, question.
I said so first. I want them for the dunk tank.
Well, of course. But, you know, the dunk tank, as compared to sitting here and having amber-colored liquid with me, is different. Tom, you obviously listened to BZ all your days and so on. Anything strike you as a little kid, a young teenager, listening to BZ once in a while when we used to play music? Or
when you used to have the top 40 and when you're going to school, WBZ used to be the no school station.
Mm-hmm. Which you loved, right?
That's right. I used to listen in the wintertime to make sure there was school or not. But also the top 40, the calling all sports. I mean, you always had on the station, David, real class guys. I mean, Kyle DeSouz, Streeter Stewart.
Oh, and Streeter was wonderful.
And
was
David Maynard has been there since, the turn of the century.
Very funny, man.
The 18th century, you mean. Oh, this century, right.
You two are knocking each other out. That's good.
No, we're having fun with you, David, because you are an object of enormous veneration to us. We revere your antiquity, your wisdom, and all your decades and decades of experience.
The thing is, you talk like that, I melt.
David, yes. Dave Maynard, you're an institution in Boston. That's why we respect you, and you've been on the air for how long? I don't know how many years, but yeah, you're still on occasionally. That's great to have institutional knowledge. And, you know, some of these stations in Boston, the announcers come in for 2 weeks and go on. They don't even know how to say Hyde Park. I mean,
this is true. And I remember one person came in, did not know what to do with Skatituate, she said.
Skatituate.
On Channel 7, Skatituate or something like that. It was really quite an interesting. Tom, you know, many years hence, when you leave politics and you've said all you wanted ever to be was mayor of Boston and you've got that, Jerry Springer preceded you as mayor, I think, of Cincinnati. He's a thing on television, and Ed Koch has a radio talk program. And Mario Cuomo has one. I look forward some decades hence to the Tom Menino show on WBZ. I see it coming.
I doubt that very much, but I just, you know, it's the station, you know, guys, where people listen to. I mean, other stations listen to for their news, and over the years, you've been the steady eddy of AM radio, and you continue to be that, the steady eddy of AM radio. And
then, so all of this means you're going to get a lot of compliments, but no dunk tank, right?
No dunk tank. No. I might stop over for the blueberry pancakes.
Oh, all right.
Mayor Menino, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, David. Thank you.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back for our final segment with Dave Maynard tonight, who is, of course, gearing up, carrying, toting cucumbers, watermelons, and other assorted things.
You think you're kidding?
Arugula. No, I'm not. I've seen you do it. And Ruth has been doing it, and she is, of course, your right hand, without doubt, and a terrific lady. Let's take a little break. We'll take more calls right up until 8 o'clock. We'll talk with the person who, on behalf of Vice President Gore, gave today a $6 hammer to the IRS. And it's a funny story, and it's a worthy one, and I'm happy to know of it. And we'll do that right after this. We have room for quick calls from the four people who are on our lines. Let's do it.
What a good idea.
You love that.
Everybody gets 12 seconds.
Not quite.
Go ahead, Mark.
A minute and three. Mark, good evening. You're on BZ with Dave Maynard.
Hi. I'm a new listener for the past year, and I just want to say real quick that I think it's a great station because you can listen to Mr. Maynard and how we should treat our fellow human beings, and David Brudnoy as far as his unbiased and educated opinion and news all day. And basically, it makes me a less ignorant person, I think, in life and my traffic that I can set my watch to. That's pretty much all I want to say.
Mark, thank you. Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you.
Good night. Let's take another call in Rhode Island. Claire. Claire, good evening. You're on with Dave Maynard.
I hope that fella isn't listening.
Hello,
who was on
there
with me Friday. I'll tell you why.
Hi, Claire.
Yes, Claire.
Hi, Dave and Dave.
Hi.
Howdy.
Congratulations on a job well done. And I want to give you a big hearty thank you for making me go to work, get up, chuckle all the way to work, and the early morning shift. And you did that every morning unfailingly.
No, thank you.
And my husband and I always used to listen for Monadnock's calls.
Oh, he's still around, I understand.
Who is Monadnock?
Monadnock is a strange kind of a fellow.
Yeah.
Who thinks that the telephone poles are listening to him. It's a long story. I'll have to, when I have more
they
time.
They aren't?
What do you mean they aren't?
Well,
but he's for real, huh?
He's for real.
We always wondered.
And I'll tell you, I gave him the name of Monadnock, and I can't even remember why.
Well,
I forget what his name was before that. It was probably Allegheny or something. Anyhow, thanks very much, Claire.
Okay, good luck, and
it.
God bless.
Thank you.
Good night,
bye-bye.
Claire. Bye-bye.
I had a guy on with me Friday night, and every time somebody paid a compliment, he's probably writhing. He said, you just sit there and take all these compliments. I said, well, you can't say, he said, that from your following. I said, well, am I supposed to say to somebody, it's very nice of you to say that, but I'm sorry, that puts me one over the following limit. So I'll have to just...
One must learn appreciatively to accept both praise and criticism.
Thank you, sir. George, you next.
George, good evening. You're on BZ.
Hi, Dave.
Howdy.
I have maybe a bone to pick with Dave.
Which one?
You, I hope.
Take your pick.
Okay. That's right.
Oh, dear.
Our clock radio has been set to WBZ for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And one morning when the clock radio went off, you started to talk about Mitzi Gaynor.
Yeah.
And I just happened to, at that particular time, have an extra ticket to the Mitzi Gaynor show in Cohasset the next night.
Mm-hmm.
And I give you my phone number, and I said, I'd love for you to be my guest. And you never called me back.
That doesn't sound like me. I'm a type of person who pays attention to details. And now people that I know are fainting all over the place. I'm sorry. I don't know why that happened. That's rather unusual because I admire her. I don't go out to many shows live because I'm usually a fairly busy guy, and
I understand
I just
that.
Don't have the, I'm very sorry. I thank you for the offer. And fine time to tell you now, right?
That was probably 15 years ago.
Yeah.
George, he's probably been regretting it ever since and feeling a certain yawning bemusement at his own inability to be perfect, which he has told us for lo these many centuries
right.
he is. Right?
I'd go just to see her legs. I mean, she has the nicest legs in show business, as far as I'm concerned.
You got that right.
Thanks, George.
But I don't think she's working anymore.
Yes, she is.
Is she right?
Yes, she is. I read it the other day. She was working about a month ago at the beginning of the summer down in some large music circus in Sarasota, Florida, I think, something like
George, that. George, thank you.
Very
thank
good.
You. Good night, sir.
Have a good
we day. Have 35 seconds. Marie, good evening. You're on with Dave Maynard.
Hi. Hi, Dave and Dave.
Howdy.
Hi. I just want to tell Dave Maynard he is one of the most perfect persons I ever met.
Well, boy, do you have taste and discernment.
Well, I love you. Next to my family, I love you the most.
Huh.
Isn't that something,
everybody,
Dave?
Get out of my way. I'm leaving in about 30 seconds. I want a clear path to the hallway.
Hey, Dave, one time I wrote to you for a cooking tip, and I said, if I could clone you, I'd keep the original for myself.
That's the nicest thing anybody's ever
said.
Well,
God bless, Dave.
Thank you, dear.
Bye-bye, honey.
Thank you very much, Marie.
Bye.
Dave, we'll see you Saturday morning, anytime from 6 on, the biggest and best of the Dave Maynard farm stands for Children's Hospital.
And I hope everybody comes. And remember, we have a little motto. Bring something, buy something, and have a great time.
And you'll kiss the ladies.
Good
night, David.
Good night.
Be well. We will Thanks. Be back. We'll be talking about the anniversary today. Kenny Meyer was with BZ for a long time. He joins us now. Ken, good to have you with us again. What were your years there, and which programs did you do? I remember some of them, but not all.
I started there in 1971, and I started working with Larry Glick, and then was able to work with Guy Manila doing Calling All Sports. I was able to work with Jerry Williams for a little while doing his program. Mm-hmm. I worked with David Finnegan and Peter Mead, and also was lucky enough to do my own show for 5 years.
It's a long, long career. 71 it began, and when did you leave BZ?
I left BZ in November. In fact, it's kind of an ironic thing. I left BZ on November 1st, 1985, and that was mine and Carl D'Souza's last day.
I'll be darned. Gosh, you know, it's funny to I mean, I remember Carl, of course, and I've seen him subsequently on many occasions, and last night it was good to have him there. You've seen the changes. You've experienced going from music with some news to lots of news and talk, and you mentioned Dave Finnegan, and before him Jerry, and then Peter in that spot, and then Larry Glick, and then Larry moved to the afternoon, and I moved to the evening, or came in at the evening, and so on. Reflections of a person who's been there, who's there for a decade and a half. What do you make of those changes then, and then bring it up to now?
The 14 years that I was there, I enjoyed. I got to meet people and book people that I never, ever thought I would ever do. I mean, I met a former president of the United States twice. I talked to Ronald Reagan before he became president. When we had people like David Finnegan and Jerry Williams there, I think we had the best people around at that time to do talk. Mm-hmm. And there was competition between the radio stations at that time. It was hard for us to book a guest because if we were going to book a guest, for example, on the Finnegan program at 7 o'clock, they'd say, well, we're going to have them on at 6 o'clock on WHDH with Hubert Jessup, who was Finnegan's competition. And they would say, well, we can't do that. We got to have it on BZ or not at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't happen anymore. So it's probably easier for you guys to book a guest.
No, you're wrong. It does happen. We demand first come, first in Boston.
Oh, yeah?
Absolutely. And so do others. But you see, what's left now is very little of the interview stuff. Chris Lydon does it on public radio, but on the station I came from to BZ, there's a lot of stuff going on, but not terribly many guests. So it isn't the way it was when I was on RKO. Hubert had followed me at HDH. Peter was on opposite mm-hmm. me on BZ.
Right.
And at that point, and you know, we fought those good wars, and they were good fights because obviously we had to say, well, this program will do better for your guests.
Yeah.
And so we won some, we lost some, and sometimes if the circumstances were right, we would say, okay, we'll take it later. Usually what happens now in Boston, guest comes into town at night, I get him at night, next morning he goes over to public radio at Boston University with Chris. And that's about the way it goes. But very few programs anymore are interviewing authors, you know, and it's getting poor for authors.
Yeah, I miss that because I enjoyed authors being interviewed. And if you did your homework and really did a good job with the interviews, they really appreciated it, and it was a lot of fun. But, you know, you ask about reflections. Radio isn't funny anymore like it used to be. I mean, when Glick was on at night, it was a perfect time, midnight at night, to be a little crazy and weird. And you don't have that much now. I don't know if it's because of the reflection of the times and the way the economic situation is in the country and the things that are going on, but they always seem to want to discuss politics. I mean, Bob Raleigh does a good job with his quick recall game and his trivia with Mel Simons and all that, but politics still manages to creep in. And when Glick was on the air and when I was on the air at BZ, I always tried to make the show light, and Glick always did it, and of course nobody could do it like Larry Glick did it. He was crazy, and he was funny, and he was wonderful. And that kind of radio doesn't happen anymore.
I think it happens with Norm Nathan. I think he has a lot of fun with fascinating guests, often on the most bizarre subjects. I mean, I always ask Tony, who books his guests from, where do you find these people?
Yeah.
You know, the biggest ball of yarn under the equator. I mean, it's amazing stuff. And
but,
you know, and so it's very light, and he doesn't get into politics at all. So you have three nights of that in the wonderful hours where people get a little bit around the bend.
But there should be more of it.
Maybe there should be, but you know, Bob does a lot of light stuff too. But people call on what they want to call on.
That's true.
And my sense is that a society that is at ease about government is not as interested in discussing it, but a society that is filled with the rage and the fury and the, you know, confusions of politics and so on, really doesn't know exactly what to make of it. So people want to talk about what's getting their goat.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be part of it, at least, I think.
Yeah.
Let me take a little break here. We'll be back with our guest, Ken Meyer. Is he our number 254-1030, area code in Boston is 617. Bob Raleigh will be with you right at midnight. If you'd like to talk with Ken, remember, 71 to 85, 14 years of BZ, producing for, among others, Peter Mead and Larry Glick, and had his own program as well, and has lots of stories of that era. Let's hear from you. Give us a call now. Fame, our guest. Mark, good evening. You're on with Ken.
Hello.
Go ahead,
hey,
sir.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, did Larry Glick used to call you Muck sometimes?
Yes, he did. Yes.
He did
yes,
call you Muck, didn't he?
Yeah. There used to be a comedy team a long time ago on radio called Muck and Meyer, and Larry, the first or second night I was there, started calling me that, and for some reason it stuck, and a lot of people, you know, took to it, and general managers even call me that name when they would bawl me out about something.
It was very interesting. I tell you two things that I wanted to bring up. One was, I remember Larry Glick, and I think David's right that Norm Nathan does capture the spirit of Larry Glick very, very well. I'm really enamored of his show. But one of the things that I was really fascinated by when Larry Glick used to be on, I was a little kid, I used to get my old cassette recorder out and tape Larry Glick at night off the radio. And didn't he used to have some mafioso guy who was supposedly a hitman or something come on? Was that for real, or was that set up?
There were a lot of characters that were set up with Larry. I can't recall off the top of my head the gentleman that you're talking about, but I know, for instance, one for sure was a guy that was an English lord in Florida, and Larry called him Lord Farthingay. And it turned out that this guy was a disc jockey down in Ohio named Steve Cannon. He used to call him Boom Boom Cannon. So my image of this of Lord Farthingay was shattered like the second or third week that I was at BZ. So some of the characters were set up, and that was one of them.
Mm. One of the more funny comments, well, not funny, rather macabre, that Larry did make, I remember somebody called in once and just was describing this murder scene of a woman who was basically cut into pieces, and his comment was, sounds like she had a date with Muck.
Oh, dear Lord.
Well, I mean, I remember a lot of things that happened with Larry and a lot of interesting ones as far as guests and all that kind of thing, but I don't remember that particular comment.
I think Glick said to me when he went to the afternoon, he said, you know, I finally can have a nightlife like a normal person. I've wondered sometimes, Kenny, whether I should try an afternoon show. I don't think so. But Larry was so happy to have a different shift for once. And I remember I wonder if he's still doing his hypnotism stuff in Florida. Do you know?
I have no idea. But that's interesting because when Larry got off nights, so did I.
Yeah.
And I started working days, and it was so weird to be up at 8 o'clock in the
uh-huh,
morning.
Uh-huh.
And after a while, I got to enjoy it.
Yeah, there is something about being able to say yes to a dinner party, right?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Mark, excellent call. And by the way, nobody says enamored of except you and me and three other people. Bless you for speaking English, Mark.
Thank you very
good
much.
Night, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Leon in New York, good evening. You're on with
yes.
Muck.
Yes, hi, David.
Hi.
I'd like to say, first of all, that I think, in his way, David Brudnoy is in the same category of excellence as Larry Glick.
But he's much funnier than I.
Well, you've got a different
sure.
show. But,
I know. Thank you for saying it, sir. Thank you.
Well, they had a little informal poll talking about radio talk show hosts in this area not too long ago, and you were mentioned time and again.
In New York, really?
Yeah.
Very good. Happy to hear it. Tell my management. Get us syndicated.
Well, for one thing, don't go on days. We wouldn't be able to hear you.
You're right. You're right, unless we were syndicated.
Right. I'd like to say, and maybe this has already been mentioned, but I have a slight visual handicap myself, and so it gives me heart when I know what many things Muck accomplished, even though he's blind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this must give courage and encouragement to many other people with serious visual handicaps out there who would like a career in radio but think it can't be done.
Well, now, that's interesting because I've thought an awful lot about that and what it would be like to go. Number one, I mean, I would love to go back. I would go back tomorrow if the chance ever came up.
Yeah.
But when I was at BZ, I was able to do everything as far as running a board was concerned and all that kind of thing. But I don't know if I could do that now because there are what's known in the business to anyone that's listening, touch screens.
Oh.
Which means that you can't take a cartridge to play a commercial and put it in a slot and push a button anymore.
No, that part of it, you could do the talking, though.
I could do the talking, yeah. Yes. But as somebody said to me once, radio has suddenly become a very visual medium,
oh,
meaning
yes.
in that particular sense. And I don't know, it would be interesting. I mean, I would love to try it.
Yeah. Well, may I ask, what are you doing now?
I work at City Hall in Boston. I work for the Disability Commission at Boston City Hall.
Oh,
I have been there
wonderful.
For the last 5 years.
That's wonderful. I want to wish you good luck and keep up the wonderful work, David.
Thank you very much, Dan. Appreciate
yes,
the call. Ken, a question. When you booked guests on books, for instance,
sure.
for Peter or Dave or anybody, how did you know whether you felt confident enough to do it? My producer, for instance, scrutinizes things before we book them, and then I read them, but I you know, we get 55, 60 books a week. You know, I can't, I die if I try to do everything. So you do a few of them.
Yep.
How did you do that pre-screening so that your hosts knew it was worth doing?
Sometimes I would talk Larry into something that I knew would be good. I heard an interview with an author once who wrote a book. It was called The Ghost of Flight 401, and it was about an airliner that crashed in Florida.
Yeah.
And was supposedly the ghosts of the captain and the co-pilot appeared on subsequent airline. Well, the minute I heard that interview, I said, I know this is Glick. So I booked it.
Uh-huh.
And I told Larry about it. I said, Larry, you've got to read this book. And he did, and it was a good interview.
Oh, yeah, no, your intuition would do this on things like that where you just,
yep.
no pun intended, it would click
right,
for
exactly.
Glick. But something else, you're doing it for the more serious programs,
well,
for Jerry or Dave Finnegan or Peter Mead, then how did you do it?
There were sometimes I had agreements with publishing companies where they would send us a book, and they would wait to hear from us before they contacted anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I would show it to these guys and say, look, I think this might be a good thing. If you want to do it, let's do it. And they would say yes or no, and it was as simple as that. It wasn't really that difficult.
I knew there had to be a reason because those programs were very good. Peter and I had a wonderful friendly rivalry as we were competing for it. It was much better to be his colleague and not have to fight against him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, it was one of those things. But Peter has always spoken so highly of you.
I mean,
you know, he really is keen on you.
I appreciate that, and I feel the same way about Peter. He is He is a real genuine article and a wonderful human being.
Let's take some more calls. In Milton, Paul, good evening. You're on with Ken Meyer.
Hi, David. How are you?
Good evening, sir.
Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I want you to reminisce about, was it 15 years ago, you put, well, first of all, I think I agree with David's comments about the very nature of talk radio today, particularly the other station that begins with W.
They all begin with W.
It's sort of like Twinkie. It's the equivalent of a Twinkie.
Yeah.
But well, you put together a program reminiscing, I think, on the 60th or 65th anniversary of WBZ. It was down the Cape. Could you tell us about that?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the big broadcast that we did in 1975 for muscular dystrophy that was down on the Cape. It was wonderful. We brought back everybody from old-time radio. We had the Friday night fights. We had actual boxers, and this is, I know how much David enjoys sports. He's going to love to hear this story.
Oh, yeah. Ken, now tell me more.
We actually had professional boxers. We had a gentleman named Guy LeBeau out of New York doing the broadcast live, and we even had Gillette sponsor it, just like they did in the old days. We had some of the soap operas with the actual stars. We did The Romance of Helen Trent. We did Argyll Sunday. We did The Shadow with Brett Morrison. We had, obviously, we didn't have Jack Benny, but we had an impersonator who impersonated Jack, and we had everybody else from the Benny cast. And it was a whole weekend. It started at 6 o'clock on Friday night and ended at midnight on Sunday night, and it was great. I mean, it was, if you were a fan of old radio back then, and, you know, you could really get into it. Of course, I had a ball that weekend because I got to meet people that I heard when I was little. My mother used to tape soap operas. She used to tape Helen Trent and Argyll Sunday every day, and I got to have dinner and lunch and breakfast with these people.
Muck, I did too. You know, my school was right across the street from my house, grade school and junior high school. So I got to come home for lunch, and my mother and grandmother would listen to Argyll Sunday and Helen Trent, Ma Perkins, and so on and so forth. I want to test your memory. What was the opening to Argyll Sunday every single day?
Oh, let's see. Something about a little mining girl from Silver Creek, Colorado,
who married
Lord Henry Brentrop.
No, who married England's richest
and most handsome
Lord Henry Brentrop.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
All right.
Now, do you remember the name of the estate that they stayed in?
No.
Black Swan Hall.
You're right. Right. You see, Paul, you see what happens when guys who grew up listening to Argyll Sunday and Lord Henry Brinthrop and D. Paul,
because you're older than I am.
Don't rub it in, Paul. Go away. Go to bed. Good night, Paul.
Good night.
This is WBZ in Framingham. Louise, good evening. Hi, Louise.
David, I thought some of calling you personally on this, and then I thought it might be too abrasive, so I'm going to attack both of you.
Okay, go ahead.
What is the rationale in WBZ's emphasis on sports in the evening when we would so much rather be listening to you? In fact, there's no comparison as to rather.
I can tell you because it's public knowledge. I wouldn't say anything that was proprietary, but the sports columns have already noted for the last year, BZ is hoping to buy another AM station, and we'll move the sports to that AM station, and will then become a sports station, and BZ will go back to being news and talk.
Deo gracias.
Yeah, Deo gracias indeed, and from your lips to God's ears, or at least management's ears. I think the Bruins will remain with us, because I think they will remain with us. But
I am a fan of sport.
Yeah. I don't have anything against sports. I just don't want it during my hours. But, what am I going to do about it, yeah?
I enjoy sports. When I was at BZ, the Bruins won the Stanley Cup in the 71-72 season, and it was thrilling for me to be associated with a station that carried the Bruins and won a Stanley Cup.
Well, that's fine, Kenny, but you know, when we who are fans of David, that's a weak word, admirers, deep admirers. I really truly mean this, and your sit-ins when it's necessary, and to turn on the radio and hear this constant, you know, I just don't get it. It really offends me.
It will be over soon. It will be.
As
Jim Baker and Greenidge and Jack Craig and all the sports reporters have written. That's why I say I wouldn't say anything that was private, but it is known by people who read the sports columns that that's what the plan is. And I, every day I say, when? Thanks for the call, Louise. We got a break.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Kenny, great talking with you. I hope we're both around for the 80th birthday of BZ.
I'm planning on it. It's good to talk to you, David. It really sounds good hearing you work that equipment in there.
I can push a touch screen. they don't let me touch anything important, but the touch screen they let me touch. Ken Mayer, thanks so much. Meyer,
you bet, David.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye. And there was a Ken Mayer and there's Ken Meyer, and I sometimes get them confused, which is unfair and unwise. We have to break. That's it. Bob Raleigh upcoming. Thanks to our producers, Kevin Myron, Tony Nesbitt, Stephen Adams, and you for being with us tonight. I'll be back with you tomorrow night. All Ireland, all night. Begorra. Good night.
Norm's Vault of Silliness is full of surprises. I hope you enjoyed hearing those Boston radio legends. Next week has a little something special in it, too. At least I think so. See you then. Closing the vault and riding the radio waves home. For the Farm Stand, the WBZ Smoking and Drinking Annex, Clear Channel Radio Signals, Bruce Bradley, Jim Sands, Lavelle Diet, Malcolm McCormick and his musical clock, Norm Prescott, Stan Richards, Alan Derry, Aloysius P. Suttingale, Community Auditions, Boston Blackie, Tom Menino, Monadnock, Mitzi Gaynor, Taste and Discernment, Larry Glick, Guy Manila, Jerry Williams, Dave Finnegan, Peter Mead, Carl DeSouze, Kenny Muckmeyer, Dave Maynard, David Brudnoy, and the venerable WBZ News Radio 1030. I'm Tony Nesbitt.